Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, 15 years after the Srebrenica massacre, what is the current state of Islam in Bosnia? Viewers may find some of the following footage disturbing.
Fifteen years have passed since the war in Bosnia, which saw the ethnic cleansing of thousands of Bosnian Muslims at the hands of Serbian soldiers, all in the name of creating an ethnically pure Greater Serbia. Up until now, more than 400 mass graves have been found, thousands have been registered as missing, and bodies continue to be dug up. The war culminated in the massacre of thousands of men and boys at the UN safe area of Srebrenica. Annual memorials are held there every July. Bosnian Muslims feel let down by The Hague and feel that the former Bosnian Serb leader Radovan Karadzic, currently on trial for charges of genocide and war crimes, will eventually be set free.
Whether you plead guilty or not guilty.
Intrinsically linked to the genocide, Islam in today's Bosnia has undergone something of a revival, as seen by a growing visual Muslim identity. This week on Islam and Life, we ask the question, 15 years after the Srebrenica massacre, what is the current state of Islam in Bosnia?
This is the question, 15 years after Srebrenica and this ethnic cleansing in the heart of Europe. It's a big question about the state of affairs in Bosnia, but also the whole question of being a Muslim, being a European Muslim, being a Bosnian Muslim in the heart of Europe, and all this discussion about what is happening now. Are the people coming back to Islam? Is this something which is coming from within an indigenous phenomenon, a European phenomenon, or is it influenced by, you know, people from abroad and coming back to Islam because there is a pressure coming from the Ummah, the Muslims around the world supporting the trend of coming back to Islam? These are important questions in Europe, in the heart of Europe, and very often Western Europe is forgetting what is happening in Eastern Europe, as if, you know, when we are talking about Muslims in Europe, we are only talking about Western Muslims or Western European Muslims and not about Eastern Muslims. And we heard the Mufti of Sarajevo, Mustafa Ceric, saying, look, we don't speak about integration, we are Europeans and we have been Europeans for centuries. So this is not a question for us. So there is a series of questions about this reality, and to answer these questions, I'm joined by Imam Hazim Vlajic, who originally trained and worked as an imam in Sarajevo and is currently completing a PhD in Islam and Muslims in the Balkans after communism. So thank you for being with us, Imam Hazim. And let me come to this story. We are 15 years after Srebrenica. It's a celebration, but it's something which happened, which was a crisis for the European countries because they let this happen in the heart of Europe, and even asking the Bosnians to give up and to give their weapons, and they were massacred by the Serbians. So how do you see this? How you personally are connected to this story?
After 15 years, we pretty much know what happened, who were executors and who were executed, and around 10,000 people, innocent boys and men, were killed in Srebrenica and around Srebrenica. Today we actually don't know, and we as a Muslims, Bosnian Muslims as well as European Muslims, we want to ask questions. Why did the Serbs decide to do this? Why they killed in such a short space of time, in just 4 or 5 days, 6, 7, or 8 thousand people. For that, they needed logistics, they needed whole organization, and the Srebrenica massacre was well planned, well calculated, and well organized event. To kill 10,000 sheep, yeah, you need a couple of days of working, and not saying about people, you have to catch them, you have to find them, you have to imprison them, and then you have to kill them, you have to bury them. So this is well organized event.
So what do you mean is that there was a vision, there was a plan behind the whole story? It's not just
of
that.
Of course. Yes. When you see footage of Ratko Mladic, General Ratko Mladic, who at the day on the 11th of July 1995, when he led the occupation of Srebrenica, he gave the following statement: the time has come, the day has come, to present or to give Srebrenica as gift to the Serbian people, and the time has come for revenge. So even before Srebrenica, during the war, and even before the war, the Serbian academics, Orientalists from Belgrade, including Darko Tanasković, Miroljub Jeftić, and others, including journalists, they wrote about Islam and Muslims in the Balkans as something foreign, something...
So let me come to this, yep, because I think it's the heart of our question, yep, here. When we come back to Srebrenica, and you know, as a European, very often when I'm talking about this, I said, look, there is something which is quite not only a symbol, it's a revelation, it reveals something as for the self, you know, awareness of Europe about its, you know, what we think about ourselves. It's just Islam as perceived as a foreign element. It's coming from abroad. It's not really European. It's Turkish. It's coming from the Ottoman Empire, what we heard by Serbians saying this. So what you are saying here is that when we come back to Srebrenica and what happened, you know, between 7,000 to 8,000 and even maybe more than that in other places in Bosnia were killed, do you think, and do you analyze this as something being targeting the Muslims because they were Muslims and they wanted to clean the areas of any Muslim presence, or is there something which is more political than religious, or both?
For thorough answer and for detailed explanation of that, we would probably need a couple of research projects in Bosnia-Herzegovina, in the region, and also at the European institutions. But I will give you one example. When the in Bijeljina, town of Bijeljina, in the beginning of the war, when the Serb unit, a paramilitary unit, came, and they didn't know about certain man, whether he is a Muslim or not Muslim, whether he should be killed and not to be killed. What they did, they stripped his trousers off to see whether he is a Muslim or not. So that man could be atheist, could be Buddhist, could be anybody, but they concluded that he is Muslim, and that's why he was killed. Of course, as I'm saying, and I'm returning to your previous question, we are now more concerned why this happened and why Europe allowed this to happen in the end of 20th century. And we would like to see more research projects at the European universities, institutes, and also at the political level, to see why this happened, and if this happened to Muslims in Bosnia, it could happen Muslims or Jews or anybody else in Europe in 21st century, for the future of Muslim Islam and Muslims in Europe, but also for future of Europe. We need these answers.
Yes, because we heard also some Muslims around Europe and throughout Europe saying, look, I got this, in fact, here in the UK or in France or in Germany, saying, look, if Muslims are treating it such a way in the Balkans, which is the heart of Europe, it means that this could be our fate in the future. This is something that we cannot just remove from the picture, that it's going to, you know, Muslims are going to be targeted. You, from your experience, do you think that this is something that if we don't solve and we don't come back to a deep understanding of what happened in Bosnia, this could be also something that we have to be scared of in at the European level?
Of course. When the World War II finished, Jewish communities and Jews around the world, they thought that any kind of anti-Semitism could be any statements of anti-Semitism could be prosecuted. Persons who proclaim anti-Semitism could be prosecuted. Writers, researchers, academics, journalists, and for the last 50 or 60 years, many individuals, researchers, very, very careful about anti-Semitism. Today, everybody could speak about Islam and Muslims in whatever way they want, and nobody is blamed, nobody is brought to justice. And then, when we have consequences like Srebrenica, like other parts in Bosnia where Muslims suffered, in Trnopolje, in Omarska, which were classic war camps like Auschwitz or Dachau, but just at lesser scale.
So it's important, you know, you are drawing a parallel between what happened to the Jews in Europe and what could happen, in fact, to Muslims, and happen, in fact, in Bosnia, which is an ethnic cleansing and just targeting people because of the very fact that they were Muslims. Let me come to what is the state of affairs now in Bosnia, because I went there many times. I met many of your, you know, professors and academics and your mufti and so many people, and I was, to tell you the truth, I was impressed. Impressed by the state of affairs and this understanding of Islam in the heart of Europe, about you know, being a European, coming back to this, you know, Islamic identity while being a Muslim. How do you see this situation? Because after what was a trauma in the country, now we have something which is a new generation. But when we walk in the streets in Sarajevo, it's a mixture of, you know, people coming back to Islam and practicing, and others very westernized or Europeanized in a way. How do you see the situation of Muslims today?
In some articles and some even some books, you will find statements about revival of Islam in Bosnia, but also in the Balkans as a whole.
Yes.
But we should not underestimate the role religion as such played even during communist times. In former Yugoslavia, there were around 3,000 mosques during communist period. And also Muslims at individual level, at the end of the communist period, when the communist collapsed, they were amongst the most secularized Muslims in the world. I'm not saying from my own experience, I'm saying from the research, from...
The facts and figures and the surveys, yes.
So, and then Muslims tried to find their own religious, but also national identity, ethnic and national identity. And that's why we had many Muslims publicly displaying their adherence to religion. And 15 years on, we have at organizational level the Islamic community, official Islamic community, which is umbrella organization for the whole Bosnia-Herzegovina, has strengthened. There are about 6 to 7 madrasas or Islamic colleges. There are 3 faculties. There are books published. There are many Muslim organizations established, and so on. But on the other hand, at the individual level, we have some genuine returns to religion. But at the same time, about 60 or 70% of young people, they still approve premarital sex. There is increase a use of alcohol, of drugs, and so on. So we have to be very careful when we are talking about revival of Islam.
Yes, this is a very good point, because this is what I heard from people. It's quite true that when you are attacked because you are a Muslim, the first reaction could be, I come back to my Islam and I try to understand what are the principles of my religion. But when we go there and we see the situation, it's not a monolithic reality. We have people coming back to religion, lots of people trying to study Islam, but at the same time, as you said, people who are completely living with, you know, the culture of Europe and very close to what is happening in Europe. So they are very Europeans, so to speak, in the cultural sense. Yes. So what could be also interesting for all of us, because this is also something which is quite important when you know, the legal dimension, the philosophical dimension. You know, in the West we speak about integration, as I said at the beginning in my introduction, the Mufti of Sarajevo and so many other people and scholars are saying, we don't speak about integration, we are Europeans and we have been so for centuries. What, in your view, what are, because very often I'm saying to the Western politicians, you have to learn from the Eastern realities, not neglect this. In your view, what could come from Eastern Europe that the Western Europeans could learn from and have a better understanding?
In terms of Muslims?
In terms of Muslims, diversity and pluralism.
Muslims in Eastern Europe, they have lived and they have been living in that part of the world for centuries, and they have also, in when we speak about Bosnia, they have experienced living under the Ottomans and after 1878 under the Austro-Hungarians, and also they have experience of living in a secular state, communist and secular state during 1945. 1990s. So they have established a kind of institutional Islam where there is organization which looks after all the affairs of Muslims within in one country. So Muslims of the West could learn a lot about organization and about institutionalized Islam in Bosnia-Herzegovina, yeah. In Serbia, in Montenegro, in Macedonia, and other parts of the world. Because when you have one person to speak to, as in our case is Mustafa Efendi Seric, it is easier even for the state to communicate and to pass its message to the religious communities. In the Western Europe, we don't have that, and this is a great difference between the Western Muslims and the Eastern Muslims.
Yes, what you are talking about is institutionalized Islam or institutionalization, the process of institutionalizing Islam with very strong institutions when it comes to universities, for example, when it comes to training imams and training leaders. This is what we can find in the Balkan and what we can find in Bosnia, and this is a very long tradition. Even of thinkers and scholars that have been sometimes trained in Muslim majority countries. Some went to Cairo, to Saudi Arabia, and they are very well trained. So there is a great deal of knowledge there. There is something which is important that we heard from European institutions, and it's not only what we heard from European institutions, even for Western Muslims and European Muslims, it's a concern that we may have about what is going on in Bosnia, is this very important influence of Salafi trends and you know, people, because they have money, they came after the war and they supported, you know, building mosques and institutions, giving money with the Quran distributed to all the people, which was also something which was quite important. How do you see this influence of the Salafi trends coming from petromonarchies, of course mainly from Saudi Arabia, but not only that, they were putting money and trying to shape or to give a specific shape to the Islamic presence in Bosnia and in the Balkan?
I will paraphrase one of the Bosnian authors who wrote that Muslims former Yugoslavia and the Balkans during the communism were in a sort of ideological glass bell. And when this glass bell broke, then we were exposed to various trends coming from East and West. Bosnia-Herzegovina and the Balkans as the region, it's not unique in that in Soviet yes. Union, or actually in Russia, after the collapse of Soviet Union, many Christian missionaries went there, more than from 3,000 organizations, trying to convert people to Christianity.
To spread the
Christian message. So we, as a Balkan region, is not unique in that. We had various streams, various trends coming to Bosnia. One of them is Salafi, and at times we had difficult periods, especially because these young boys, they thought that they could become Muslims overnight and become and they could change the whole social structure in Bosnia overnight, which is impossible. And then our strength lays in the strength of our Islamic community, the official Islamic community, which is institution, and it has been present for more than a century. So after we had groups and organizations coming to Bosnia-Herzegovina trying to establish schools, and indeed they established some, but this is a short-living period. Our mosques have been maintained for centuries by the contributions of ordinary citizens, of ordinary members.
It's coming from within the community. Yes.
So even those mosques are not so big, so lavish, so white, and with lots of minarets. They are smaller scale, but they are maintained for long periods of time, and. When these humanitarian workers came to Bosnia Herzegovina, they thought that they will change everything overnight. But then, after 15 years, they realized that it's not an easy task. And then they returned again back to Islamic community to work closely with the Islamic community of Bosnia Herzegovina. And then we have organizations such as Active Islamic Youth trying to work closely with the Islamic community. Yes. So that's the strength which...
This is what I heard. They came first trying that they or thinking that they knew everything, and then they rely on the people of the country. So if now you had, for example, to give us a sense of what are the mainstream trends that we find in Bosnia-Herzegovina now within the Muslim community? Very quickly, what are the main trends?
The main trend is which has been followed even from communist times. So our members of our Islamic community, they are paying their small contributions to the Islamic community. So this is they are not affiliated with any organization, any global network or anything like that. There is also Sufi, many Sufis, more than Salafis, but Salafis are in the public more noticeable than the Sufis.
More visible,
so
yes,
more visible, right. And that's why people are talking about Talibanization of Bosnia-Herzegovina or something like that. But
the Sufi trend are mainly Naqshbandiya and Qadiriyya.
Mostly Naqshbandi, yes. But there are others as well. And there is about 4,000 to 5,000 members of Salafi trends. They are not unified. There are various organizations. So that's our reality. It's nothing big. It's nothing like from Muslim Brotherhoods from that side or another side. This is our traditional. If you read the articles and books which our professors are publishing now, they are more about tradition and maintaining our tradition.
So this would be the main challenge. The main challenge is how do we keep the tradition with the roots of Islam and the principles of Islam while facing a contemporary world and contemporary challenges.
Contemporary challenges. This is our main topic.
Thank you so much. I think that during this discussion we have been able to touch some of the very important points. So 15 years after Srebrenica and what happened, an ethnic cleansing in the region, is really the question of the place of Islam in the heart of Europe, because what happened there was known by the European countries and they let it happen in the heart of the European, and many Muslims around Europe were saying, if this is happening now, now, it, in the 20th century, it means that it could happen to all the Muslims. So it's quite important to come back, as you said, to this, to study what happened and why it happened and why the European countries let it happen in such a way, knowing that the Muslims were targeting because they were Muslims. Now, the situation in Bosnia is moving quite quickly, and there are many trends, and as you said, many are coming back to Islam and to the practicing dimension of Islam, but not only. You have lots of people carrying on their life and being very much influenced by the European culture, the Western culture, and not really concerned in this discussion that you were talking about between principles and religious life and culture. Still, if we look at what happened, and this is also something that we heard from people in Europe, say, oh, the Salafi are taking over, which is not true. It's a marginal trend. The great tradition is institutions, universities, and scholars in Bosnia is still the center of all this blossoming presence in the Balkan. And this is something which is quite important. And the challenges are the same with other European Muslims. Is how do we remain faithful to principles, and then we look at contemporary challenges to find our way. So that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is how to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Iman Hazem Fazlic. Thank you so much for being with us and giving us all this information about Bosnia, and I hope to see you next week, inshallah.